Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to the passage that we read from Mark chapter 1. In many ways, our text this morning is that famous text, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Well, in some ways, a picture can tell many stories, and that picture, I wonder how many of you kind of went, "Oh dear." indeed, the summer is almost over. I shouldn't say too much because I was coming from a farming background. I don't want to bring the rain on too quick. There's a lot of harvest to be brought in, so we're still thinking of an Indian summer, isn't that right, men? So, well, I do hope that you've had a good summer and that you're feeling ready for the autumn and winter term. Did I hear someone shout out, "No, I'm not really ready for it"? Well, that's life, isn't it? That's the way we all can feel at times. The summer holidays are over and it's back to school and all the rest of it. It's the start of a new term, and the beginning of September marks the beginning of another church calendar year. Churches tend to think in terms of beginning of September through to June, that kind of thing. So the 2016-17 church year is upon us. As I've said, some people take that in their stride. Others can struggle a little bit with such a prospect. Over these coming months, God willing, my preaching plan is that in the morning, by and large, I hope to do a series from the book of Joshua, and in the evenings, I hope to do a series from the book of Revelation. I'll confess something to you. I've never preached through the book of Revelation. I take my comfort from the fact that John Calvin said it was the one book that he never wrote a commentary on because he wasn't entirely sure what it was saying. I think he said that slightly tongue-in-cheek. I'm certainly hoping so, because I am going to step into the book of Revelation in the evenings. And can I say, as your minister and your pastor, let's make it our resolution at the beginning of a new season to be out at worship regularly, and dare I say, morning and evening. Yes, the tide is going against us in many, many ways, and in many places, sadly, evening worship is dwindling and even coming to an end. But let us here in Kilkeel be an example of that not happening, and let me encourage you to make it your practice morning and evening, 2 hours of the day, to be out at public worship. But today I want to focus on a subject that I and other pastors before me have touched on, I don't doubt, on many, many occasions. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make converts." No, he didn't say that. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I have taught you." Go into all the world and make disciples. And so our text this morning, this very simple but profound text, I believe, "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." I'm not sure today how many are really following Jesus. Many may come to Jesus. But here's the challenge for today. Are we following him? Here's my strap line for this morning. If you remember nothing else, this is what I'm trying to say. I want 2016 and 17 in Kilkeel Presbyterian Church to be a year of following Jesus. Following Jesus. You see, let me tell you what I think a danger that can beset churches and individual Christians. It's the danger of a church just doing laps. Have you ever thought about it in that way? We just do the same thing year on and year on. Now, of course, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are similar things and there are times and seasons. Of course there are. I'm not suggesting we get rid of those at all. But the danger is that a church can just fall into a rut of doing exactly the same thing every single year. People come, people go, and it just kind of goes round and round in a little what I call church lap. I want us to, by the grace of God, to avoid that. And can I say to you that I think that is why, that is part of the reason why sometimes people can be daunted by the start of another season's work, because it's just the same old thing. And unless there is something within our hearts and something that we are aiming for, then it will just be the same old thing and we will struggle a little bit. Attitude, you know, is a wonderful thing. Somebody once said that in achieving anything in life, that attitude is what 70-80% of getting it done. You can either say, oh goodness, the glass is half empty, I can't cope with this, or you can say, well look, you know, the glass isn't half empty, there's much to be done here, and by the grace of God I will get this done. So this morning, let's make it our prayer that in the church and in individual lives, we will grow as followers of Jesus. If I was to ask you, what's your plans for the next 2 or 3 months? What are you hoping to achieve? I can, of course, hear the farmers saying rightly, well, the harvest has to be brought in. There are fields of potatoes and maybe some fields of barley still, I'm not sure, but certainly potatoes and other stuff to be done. I have to get prepared for the winter and all of that. There's stuff to be done. I can hear maybe a mum or someone in the family saying, there's a family to be looked after. I can hear a teacher or somebody in some business saying, there's a whole dose of stuff to be done. If you saw my desk, you would cry. Yes, of course, there's a whole dose of things to be done. But spiritually, can I ask you, what are you hoping to achieve over this coming term? Or are you just running laps? And the challenge of this message this morning, in one sense, is a very simple message. And it is to share with you and to encourage you and to hopefully inspire you from the Word of God, that you will have the desire in your heart to grow as a follower of Jesus. To advance even a few little steps in your following the Lord Jesus Christ. That by the time Christmas comes, or next February, in the will of God, that we will honestly be able to say, not that we would be saying it to too many people, you know what, by God's grace, I have advanced in my Christian experience. And by God's grace, I've sought to grow a little bit more. I came across, you'll kind of smile at this or say, oh dear, Stephen has a sad life. Came across a little slogan just a couple of weeks ago. I just happened to notice it. It's one of those things. I don't know if you eat crackers. With apologies to all other makers of crackers apart from Cars crackers. I noticed in Cars crackers, they have a little strap line, a little slogan. Life is too short for the mediocre. Well, and you know, it got me thinking. I fear that in Western Christianity, there is much of the mediocre. I don't know if you've looked at the bulletin this morning and the little Be Inspired part at the back. I've been reading a couple of books recently by a man called Dallas Willard, and he says this in one of his books, The Spirit of the Disciplines. Most problems, I think I've maybe got it up on the screen. There it is. Most problems in contemporary churches can be explained by the fact that members have not yet decided follow Christ. Now think about that. You say, but if they're members, they have come to Jesus. Yes, they may have come to Jesus. But are they wanting to go on with Jesus? So here is my challenge this morning, brother and sister in Christ. If you are a believer, if you have repented and believed the gospel, if you're saved by the grace of God, are you following Jesus? You know, many people can make a commitment to Jesus, and that is wonderful. But we need to do more than that. We need to continue to follow Jesus every single day that he gives to us. If you've got your Bible, just glance to another wee verse for me, please. Matthew chapter 10. Just glance over to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 25. It says this in Matthew 10 and 25. I don't have it on the screen. It says, it is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher. If you are a Christian this morning, who is your teacher? Who is your master? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the desire in Jesus' day for a student, if you like, following a teacher, was to be like him. And Jesus here says, if you're following me, your desire ought to be that you would, in some degree or other, be like me. To be like Jesus. Following Jesus is costly, but not following Jesus is costly. And again, read the bulletin sometime, there's a paragraph about that. And of course, we cannot literally be with Jesus in the flesh and blood sense of being with him in the same way as these early disciples were. But we can have the heart of the disciple to be not only with him, but like him, and to grow in likeness to him. So here's what it means, folks. It means that you and I this morning have a decision to make. We have a decision to make right on this first Sunday of this new autumn winter term. Am I going to step out into this new season? Yes, the harvest has to be brought in. Yes, the family needs to be looked after. Yes, the school needs to be overseen, etc., etc., etc. But also in my own personal life, I am going to seek more intently to follow Jesus, to follow him each and every day. In contrast, the person who's not really interested in discipleship or following Jesus, there will always be something else more important to do. I'm sure you've noticed that in life. Whenever you think about praying, there's always just half a dozen other wee things that need to be done first. There's always something. There will always be something. Jesus told a story about that in Luke 14. One person said, well, I'm buying some more land. I'm buying more cattle. I'm getting married. Once I get all those things sorted out, I'll follow you, Jesus. There will always be something for those who choose not. Let me leave you this morning with three brief reasons as to why we ought to take discipleship or following Jesus. That's what discipleship is. It's following Jesus seriously this coming winter. These are very brief. First of all, can I suggest to you this morning that it will satisfy the soul. Jesus said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let me say this to you. A little bit of Jesus will not satisfy your spiritual hunger. It will actually prove in many cases to be an empty, powerless, insipid, shallow and tedious thing to have a little bit of Jesus or a little bit of religion. It is what a famous German Christian who actually suffered ultimately by losing his life for Jesus Christ, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, once famously described as a cheap grace. He said salvation without discipleship is cheap grace. In other words, yes, I'm saved, but I'm not going on with the Lord. Cheap grace. Yes, I'm saved, but I'm just going to live my own life. Cheap grace. Cheap, cheap grace. Yes, I've done the bare minimum, I think, I hope, to get into heaven, but I'm just living my own way. Cheap, cheap grace. And folks, that is not what Jesus calls us to. The call of Jesus is much more radical than that. The call, and that is why following Jesus is not easy. But when we begin to really follow Jesus, it will begin to satisfy our souls. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that, I'm not talking here about sort of going from some state of just getting through to some state of aiming at perfection. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm simply talking about you and I over these coming weeks and months taking a decision, as it were, to step up our following of Jesus. Not just to be content with where we're at. That's essentially what I'm saying. Jesus said to these men, "Come to me and follow me, men. Follow me." Now, we can't literally follow Jesus around the fields of Galilee or the fields of Mourne because he's not here in the flesh. But we can follow him as we take time to read his word, as we take time to wait upon him, as we get involved in our local church. Following Jesus and seeking to become like him is an adventure, and I use that word carefully. It is an adventure that will satisfy the soul. It is the abundant life. Jesus said, "Come and I'll give you that abundant life in all its fullness," life abundantly. But the truth is that for many, they don't know the abundant life because they're not actually following. It will satisfy the soul. The second thing is it will transform the church. Discipleship and following Jesus will build the church. And as reformed Christians, we should have a high view of the church, not as some grand institution, but as the body of believers. And how the church is meant to be a light to the nations. We're not to be Christian lone rangers doing our own thing, but we're to be involved in our local church. And for most of you, this is your local church. Be involved, get involved, get involved more and more. I've mentioned about coming along to church regularly. Maybe this is the season when some of you will say, "You know, I'm going to go to the Thursday midweek. I'm going to get along to the prayer meeting. I'm going to get involved. I'm not just going to leave it to the same 20 or 30 people. Where are you all? Get involved. And if people really begin to get involved and follow Jesus in that sense, it will begin to change things. I want to see this church built, and I can't do that on my own. We all have to play our part. Think of the great acts of Jesus. Think of Jesus. Jesus says, follow me, men. Follow me, woman. Follow me, young person. Read the Gospels. Think of some of his great acts of love and humility and compassion and faith and all of these things. And in this sense, and again, we could develop this in lots of different ways. If a church was known in a community or in any community for being a place of compassion and love and forgiveness and grace and humility and all of these things, people would take notice. Now, there would be those who wouldn't take notice. They couldn't care less. But others would. Looking out for your neighbor, irrespective of color or creed. Countering the racist or sectarian jibes that sometimes can still be thrown up in our society. Saying, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm a Christian. Seeking to live a life of genuine kindness and integrity. Being known as a person of real integrity. A person of genuine compassion. Not just a Sunday Christian. People notice those things. It begins to change not only the church, but to transform how people think of the church. And the last thing I want to say is, it will not only satisfy the soul, transform the church, it will change the world. And I'm thinking more in the sense of somebody could come back and say, change the world. Oh, you're being idealistic. Well, you can begin to change the world little bit by little bit, can't you? And I'm not just talking about your own little world and your own life. I'm talking about the world in which we live. I don't know about you, but I've heard a number of people say over this summer, and you know, when you look at the world and when you see what's happening in the world, there's a tremendous evil and wickedness in our world. We live in very uncertain times. The rising challenges of militant Islam, of nationalistic extremism in many countries, of intolerant isms and phobias and all of this kind of thing. We live in a very dangerous and wicked world. But Christians can make a difference in their own corner. They really can. As they follow Jesus. As they subscribe to this counterculture, which is utterly different to the cultures of our age. So that's my challenge this morning, folks. Jesus said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Will we follow Jesus? Yes, many of us, praise God, profess salvation. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't make any profession. And here we are, the summer is over. As the text says, harvest isn't quite brought in yet, but you're still not saved. That's where it begins for you. At the cross. Coming in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. And stepping out, coming to Jesus. And then, like the rest of us, following Jesus. Following him. And if we make that our aim, we will not have a mediocre autumn and winter. We'll have an autumn and winter where, by the grace of God, we are inspired afresh to start out in the work that God has called us to. to go on with Jesus every day and to know the peace and the joy and the blessing, and I'll speak more about that tonight, that comes from being a child of God and being inspired to go on to live not a mediocre Christian life, but a life that really tells for Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we pray that this morning, today, this coming term, that you would deliver us from the mediocre, and Lord, that you would help us not only to hear, but to put into practice the call to come to Jesus, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Lord, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.